Today, by the grace of God, I want to answer these two questions. The first question is this: what is Easter? And the next question is, what does Easter mean for us today? The first question: what is Easter? Easter is the Christian celebration of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the Bible, the coming of Jesus Christ was prophesied about. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He lived a sinless life. And at the age of 33, he was nailed to a cross as the sacrificial Lamb of God. He was placed in a grave on a Friday and was resurrected from that grave early on a Sunday morning. And according to the Bible, everyone who believes on his finished work on the cross will have their sin forgiven and live eternally with him in heaven. Easter is a celebration of the fact that Jesus truly is alive, right? Jesus truly is alive. And what does Easter mean for us today? To answer this question this morning, I want to look at one single verse. And it's a verse that we already read just a few moments ago. And it comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. What does Easter mean for us today? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 reads again like this: in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. And in this verse, we see three extremely powerful biblical words. And these words are redemption, forgiveness, and grace. Redemption, forgiveness, and grace. And before we look at what these words mean for us today, we need to understand this Ephesians passage of Scripture in its original context. The book of Ephesians was written by the Apostle Paul to a group of Christians who were living in the ancient city of Ephesus. And you may be asking this question, well, where was that? Where was Ephesus? Ephesus was in modern-day Turkey. And Paul had spent around 3 years with the believers in Ephesus, teaching them and strengthening them in the gospel, strengthening them in the Lord. And now, about 7 to 8 years later, Paul is writing back to them, to the people of Ephesus. He's writing back to them to remind them of who they are in Christ and how they should practically live for Christ. And it begs this question. Again, why is Paul writing back to them to remind them of these things? You see, church family, Ephesus wasn't the easiest place to live out one's Christian faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 32, Paul wrote that, and he said that he faced wild beasts in Ephesus. And he was more than likely referring to difficult people that he dealt with there in Ephesus. In Acts chapter 20, Paul said that he served the Lord with tears and trials in Ephesus. Ephesus was a very large and carnal city full of little g gods. It was a culture that was riddled with things like materialism and idolatry and the practice of magic and also demon worship. The people even worshipped Caesar Augustus as Lord in Ephesus. The culture was greatly opposed to Christianity in Ephesus. There was demonic oppression in Ephesus. Greek gods were a big deal in Ephesus. Acts chapter 19 tells us that Ephesus was a very difficult place to minister. Also a very difficult place to be a Christian, again, to live out your faith. And again, Paul is writing back to these Christians to remind them of who they are in Christ and all that Christ had done for them. In the midst of living in that difficult culture, Paul is essentially telling them, remember what Christ has done for you. Remember who you are in Christ. And church family, this applies to us today. I would say the same thing to you today. In the midst of the culture that you live in the midst of the daily struggles that life brings your way, remember who you are in Christ. Remember that you are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Remember, in the culture that you live in the midst of the daily struggles that life brings your way, that you are forgiven for your sin through Jesus Christ. And all of this comes by the grace of Christ. Again, let's look at this verse again quickly together. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, Paul says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood." Redemption, that is a strong and powerful biblical word. And what does it mean to be redeemed? The word redemption that Paul uses here conveys the idea of being liberated or delivered from bondage or imprisonment. So it begs this question, what have believers been delivered from? Believers have been delivered from the penalty of sin. And what is that? What is the penalty of sin? The penalty of sin is it's death, right? It's an eternal hell that the Bible talks about. It's an eternal separation from God. And then next, it begs this question, who are we redeemed by and how are we redeemed? Paul says that we have redemption through His blood. Through whose blood? Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Paul also wrote a verse very similar to this in Colossians chapter 1, starting in verses 13 and 14. Paul wrote, "He has delivered us." That's again, that's the idea of this redemption, that He has delivered us. And he says, "He has delivered us from the domain of darkness." What is the domain of darkness? Again, that's eternal separation from God. He has redeemed us. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness. And He has transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. What is that? It's eternal life in heaven. To the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Reminds me of that great old hymn that we sing all often, written by Fanny Crosby. It was written in 1882. "Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am." Redeemed, she says. Redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. His child and forever I am. So believer, be reminded today, in the midst of the culture that you live in the midst of things that you face on a daily basis, remember, believer, that you are redeemed by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He purchased you from the penalty of an eternal darkness and separation from God. How? By His finished work on the cross. Next, believer, as you are redeemed also by the finished work of Christ, you are also forgiven. Look at this text again with me. It says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood. Also, the forgiveness of our trespasses." Trespasses, that is simply just another word for sin. And Paul says, by the blood of Jesus, we have been forgiven of our sin. What does that mean? What does it mean to be forgiven of our sin? It is this. When you are in Christ through the eyes of God, it's as if your sins were never committed. That's good news, right? That is good news. It's as if your sins were never committed. That's what it means to be forgiven through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Psalm 103, verses 8 through 12. "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will He keep His anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. So believer, be reminded today that you are redeemed and forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. And notice at the end of this verse how Paul says that all of this comes about. He says this comes about according to the riches of his grace. Grace. Another strong and powerful biblical word. What is that? What is grace? Grace is this. Grace is the undeserved kindness, favor, and mercy of God lavished on those who trust in Jesus Christ. The amazing grace of God. So again, what does Easter mean for the believer? It is a reminder that you are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He has purchased you back from eternal separation. It also means that your sin is forgiven. Your sin is cast as far as the east is from the west. And this is all because of the amazing grace of God. So it begs this question. It begs this question in closing today. And yes, I did say in closing today. I was told by some of the moms that, Caleb, you have 5 minutes because our kids aren't going to children's church. So in closing, what should our response be to this today? What should our response be to this amazing truth that we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, that our sin is cast as far as the east is from the west, and all of this is because of the amazing grace of God? What should our response be to this today? For the believer, rest in that. Rest in that amazing truth. Rest in the amazing truth today that you are forgiven. That he no longer sees your sin. Whatever he sees you as a spotless bride, pure and holy, through the shed blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. So that thing that happened yesterday, last week, last month, last year, 25 years ago, that voice that keeps reminding you of that mistake, of that sin, it's not God. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. Rest in that today. Rest in this amazing fact that you are loved. God loves you very much. More than I could possibly express to you today. God does not remember your sin. And also rest in this, that your hope in Christ is sure. Think about this. If Christ can handle your eternal destiny for all of eternity, your hope in Christ is sure for today, and your hope in Christ is sure tomorrow. It's in the palm of his hands. He's got it. He can handle it. Give it over to him and rest in his control and his sovereignty. If he can handle your eternity, he can handle the concerns that are on your heart and your mind today and tomorrow. Rest in it. For the believer, rest. For the non-believer, we would implore you today. We would all say to you today, come and receive it. Come and receive it. This redemption that we're talking about, this forgiveness that we're talking about here today, from this amazing text, this grace that we are talking about today, it's available to you as well. The arms of Christ are open wide for you today, imploring you today to come and to believe. Come today and to believe on Him for salvation. Your sin will be forgiven. You'll be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You'll have this hope that we're talking about that will go before you today and tomorrow and for all of eternity. Today, come and receive it. How do you receive it? You simply recognize that you need Jesus. You recognize that your sin, those mistakes that you've made, that those separate you from God. And the only way that you can have forgiveness for your sin is through Jesus Christ. By trusting in Him. By placing your faith in Him and believing on His finished work on the cross. And calling on Him to save you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Today, this redemption and this forgiveness, this grace is offered to you today as well. As a church, we've been going through the book of John, and what we see over and over in the book of John is Jesus saying, you have the opportunity to receive me today, but you're not guaranteed tomorrow. We would say the same thing today. Today's the day of salvation. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. I say this all the time here in our church. When you come to Christ, you lose nothing. You gain everything. You gain everything. Jesus Christ is amazing. He is incredible. So today, come and be saved. Trust in Jesus Christ. So believer, we receive it. If you're a non-believer today, non-believers receive it. Believers rest in it. And then next, what do we do with this amazing redemption, this forgiveness, and amazing grace? Next, we tell others about it, right? We tell others about the mercy, forgiveness, and grace of Jesus. You see, church family, the only hope for the world is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is it. The only hope for that coworker, for that neighbor, for that family member, for that friend, the only hope for them is Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is no other hope. It's why we tell others about the gospel of our Jesus Christ. After he was resurrected from the grave, Jesus gave the church this great commission. This great commission. He says in Matthew 28, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And church family, this applies to us today. What the world needs more than anything is not a thing, but a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. This is why we talk about Jesus Christ. This is why we bring up Jesus Christ in our conversations. This is why we tell others about Jesus. This is why we invite others to come and to worship alongside us, that they might hear the gospel message and trust in Jesus and have their life and their eternal destiny changed for forever. And lastly, because of the redemption, forgiveness, and grace of Jesus Christ, what else do? We live like Jesus Christ could return at any moment. And we worship Him and serve Him with all that we have. The last words that we have recorded from Jesus Christ, it comes from Revelation chapter 22. And Jesus says these words. He says, surely, I am coming soon. That's what we are waiting on as the church. We live for Him. We worship Him, we serve Him, we tell others about Him, and we live like He could return at any moment because He says, surely I am coming soon. How do we prepare for His return? Again, receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust on Him for salvation. There's no other way to have your sin forgiven. We tell others about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then lastly, we live our lives like He could return at any moment, worshiping Him with all that we have, and serving Him with all that we have. Would you bow your heads with me this morning?